What's up? What's up, everybody? Hope you've all been doing well. Thanks for tuning in to another JDB podcast. For those of you that have been longtime followers, thank you very much for continuing to follow me. For those that are new, I'm just going to give you a little fair warning. I'm not a middle ground, I want to please everybody kind of guy. You're either going to like me or you're not. I really don't give a fuck if you don't. I'm going to be myself. I'm going to speak my mind. And that's all there is to that. So I was in the gym the other day and I was training and I was just kind of thinking about some ideas for a podcast that would benefit some people. And I got thinking about something really interesting. And that was like machines versus free weights. And along those lines, I got thinking about how my training had changed from when I was a beginner to an intermediate to advanced. And I don't necessarily classify beginner, intermediate, and advanced as to how many years you've been in the gym. I kind of classify it more along the lines of development and how much knowledge you can attain in a given amount of time. I mean, there's people that can build a hell of a body in a year or two, and then there's guys who've been in the gym 10 years and they're still doing the same shit and they look half-assed. So does that mean the guy that's been in the gym 10 years is intermediate, or is he still a beginner? Well, I would say he's probably still a beginner, because if you haven't gotten in really good shape, you don't know shit from experience, so you're still a beginner in my book. So it's hard to put like just the length of time with which one you are. But I got thinking about how a lot of my training, especially in my early days, had just totally went against the common core cliche bullshit knowledge that you read about everywhere. I mean, what do we read about for most people that are beginners? We read about programs like starting strength, 5x5, or sets of 3, or 3 sets of 10 per muscle group. And it's very, very kind of common core bullshit. We read a lot about the big 3, the bench, the squat, the deadlift, the bench, the squat, the deadlift. And a lot of people are under that mentality that anything else is a waste, that there's exercises that are just a waste, that doing too many curls is a waste, or tricep press downs is a waste. And you can get everything you need out of the heavy compound movements. And you know what? It's fucking bullshit. In my case, it's just bullshit. And if you don't agree with me, that's okay. You don't have to. It's just my perspective on things. But let me just back up here and talk about the beginning when I first got into working out. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me to be doing routines like 5x5 or, you know, heavy singles and doubles and triples when you're starting off not in shape. And whether you're skinny or fat or what have you, you're not in shape. You're not conditioned to lift weights, okay? This is new to you. It's new to your muscles. It's a new stimulus. So I kind of took that approach of I wanted to work up to being able to train heavier. So it made no sense for me to start with a bench press when I wasn't used to doing a lot of push-ups. It made no sense to start with heavy, heavy lat pull downs when I wasn't used to pulling my body up doing pull ups or chin ups. And then I did abs a lot just because, you know, back then I didn't have a lot of knowledge and there really wasn't like the internet. At least we didn't have it till like the mid 90s, or maybe it was the late 90s. It was after I started though. So I would buy like the bodybuilding magazines, and a lot of those magazines just, you know, it was a lot of supplement ads, and there really wasn't a lot of good articles on training. There really wasn't. It was more like pictures and motivational stuff, but it really wasn't a lot of knowledge. You know, looking back on a lot of those magazines, they were kind of BS, you know, but it was really the only thing I had at my hands at the time. So, but when I got into the gym, even before the magazines, even before I took it seriously, I would work out in my bedroom and I would do what I eventually coined the 125 routine. And I called it the 125 routine because the staple of that routine was 5 sets of 25 push-ups, 5 sets of 25 sit-ups. And I had like a cheap weight set with like sand-filled weight plates. And I would intermittently throw in some, some curls, side lateral raises. I think I eventually got into those. I didn't do those for a while though, just because I didn't know the exercise. And I would do overhead presses. And I just had an old wooden like school chair that was like my chair for like concentration curls and overhead presses. I would do them seated, not with a lot of weight. You know, back then it might have been 40 or 50 pounds. It couldn't have been more than that. I wasn't that strong. And, instinctively, I felt like 15 reps was the rep range that I needed to do for exercises like curls and even overhead presses. I wasn't doing like 5x5 or like starting strength. And I'm not knocking that program, guys. Don't take this the wrong way. I'm just explaining what really, really worked well for me and what turned me into a pretty big guy. I mean, I'm no Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I'm a very big individual and very conditioned for my size. And I didn't get there by just focusing on the bench squat and the deadlift for my developmental foundational years in the gym. I threw those in there here and there. But like, let me give you an example. For the first year I was training, I didn't even work my legs because I didn't understand that you needed to work everything. You know, I was just thinking about visually what I wanted to look, the parts that I wanted to look better. I wanted bigger arms, I did curls. I wanted a bigger chest, I did push-ups. So really for the first 4 to 6 months, it was this routine that I came up with. Just I instinctively came up with it on my own, and it fucking worked. It worked very well. And even without training legs, I mean, I guess if you call jogging training legs, then I would go for a brief 20-minute jog, maybe 3 or 4 days a week. Usually it was after I weight trained. I would weight train for maybe 40 minutes, and then I would jog for about 20. I had this little path that I made up, and I eventually went on to drive it and look at my odometer to see how far it was. I think it was maybe, I don't know, 2.5-3 miles. So yeah, I mean, it was totally instinctive. And to me, about a 20-minute, maybe 25-minute jog, I was pretty wiped out. It was very challenging. I was never a good runner anyway, but I felt like that was enough. And the big thing was, is I was consistent with it. Even though I didn't really like working out at first, I mean, I would have never thought that I would have taken it as far as I had. And I would have been online talking to you guys about this stuff because it really was a lot of hard work in the beginning. And the hardest part is when you're working your ass off, but you can't yet see the changes, you know, visually. It's one of those things where everyone else is going to start noticing it before you. I don't care how many times you look in the mirror, you're going to hear other people make some compliments to you. And then it's like, oh my God, like something I'm doing is actually working. Hell yeah. I'm actually going places. So, and it was a big part of my, you know, my developmental years, especially like transforming myself into a person that I really wanted to be. You know, I was just tired of being average. I didn't really take well to team sports, and it just became my thing. I didn't know it when I first started off that it was going to become my thing. But anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent here. But I didn't start off training with 5x5. I didn't know anything about that stuff. And I was getting stronger. And the thing about it was when I eventually started lowering my reps and increasing the work weight, I was already in very good condition. You know, I was already at the point where the muscles weren't getting quite as sore as maybe somebody that was a beginner would have experienced. And I feel like this is a really good way. You know, like there's really no reason to jump on a bench press if you suck at push-ups. If you can't even do a push-up with the right form, okay? Because a push-up, it's a calisthenic movement, but it is kind of a compound movement. You're using your chest, you're using your shoulders, you're using your triceps. You're flexing your abs to help stabilize the spine and keep your form. It is an exercise that will get you in some damn good condition. And it will get you stronger. So it just didn't make sense to me. I wasn't ready for that. And I think that a lot of these, even though they're coined as beginner programs, they're not good for someone that's not used to lifting their own body. What I'm saying is there's a little baby step that you can take before you get into some of these more traditional programs that can better prepare you for it. And if you're better prepared for it, the results are even better. I mean, they take off even faster. I mean, if you already have some mass on your chest and you're already used to that pushing motion, even if it's just pushing your body weight up, which ends up being about 65% of your body weight in that plane of motion, you are going to be better at pushing a barbell. It is going to go up more balanced. Because that's the big thing too, is in the beginning, usually one side's a little weaker than the other, and you really need to work on the form. you just really need to work on that mind muscle control and just becoming accustomed to lifting weights. So as much as the mind muscle connection matters, it is very hard for a beginner to have that mind muscle connection because A, they don't have a lot of muscular development to begin with, and B, it's new to them. It takes a very long time to establish that. And sometimes that is hard to establish when you're so worried about pushing a weight that you're not worried about feeling the muscle. So, you know, although these heavy compound movements are good for growth, for rapid growth, I don't think it's the best way for some people. I think that a much better approach is to start small but consistent. And as you get into better condition and as you get stronger by taking the baby steps, you transition into heavier barbell presses. You transition into squats or leg presses. And that's another thing. I was never a big squatter. It's not like I had a bad squat. Squats just never felt as beneficial to me as the leg press did. I felt like on the leg press, I could move my feet around a little bit more. I could target different areas of my legs. I don't give a shit what anybody tells you. If you got weight on your shoulders and you're going down to the floor with it, guess what? It's coming down on the fucking spine. I don't give a shit how good your form is. I don't care. It can cause knee issues. It can cause hip issues. And it can cause lower back issues. I don't give a damn how good your form is. And if what I'm saying is not true, then riddle me fucking this. How come all these powerlifters, ex-professional powerlifters, vet powerlifters, are walking around half fucking broken, limping, needing knee replacements? If they don't need a knee replacement, their fucking hips are shot. You know why? Because there's only so narrow you can go before the weight gets puts that shear force on your knees. And then when you go wider to get a bigger squat, it comes down on your fucking hips. It grinds your hips. Is it because their form was bad? No. Perfect lift. Green light at the meets. Their form is great. It's because your body can sometimes become like old worn out door hinges over a number of years, and especially as you put more pounds and more compression on your joints. Another exercise that I had to modify, or well, not modify, but well, I guess modify in a way, when I stopped doing full range of motion, I started just doing partials and three-quarter reps, was the overhead shoulder press. Lifting that much weight over your head with your shoulders eventually is going to impinge the fucking shit out of your AC joints. I used to do it, 3+ plates on a side, overhead shoulder presses, and it got me joint impingements really bad to the point where they wanted to do surgery on both my shoulders. I opted against it. I had to take it easy for a number of months, change my my attack, and kind of do like machines, a lot of partial reps, keep my elbows close to my ribs when I did chest presses. Shoulder presses were out. I totally neglected those for a while until that impingement went away. And then when I went back to them, I never did them heavy. I did them maybe 60, 70% of what I was doing when I had the impingements, but I would find ways to make it hard. I would maybe slow my reps down. I would, you know, keep a three-quarter rep range to keep constant tension on my delts, and my shoulders just got bigger. So there's more than one way to skin a cat, but a lot of people, they have this like this pig-headed fucking mentality, this only one way to the best results mentality, and that's just not the case. It was never true for me. I didn't really get into training, like I said, I didn't get into training legs till after about a year in the gym, and then I started training legs, and it was very heavy leg presses, and it was on that old... Maybe some of you old school guys remember this. It was a hammer strength leg press. And you climbed up in the damn thing like you're getting up in a bulldozer or something. I mean, you climbed up a ladder and you're about 5 or 6 feet off the ground. And it was this giant big contraption that you load the plates up more towards the bottom of the thing. Like the arms came down near the floor. But the press part for your feet was up high, you know, and you pressed it straight out in front of you. And it was like a, the one we had was kind of like a carpeted pad for your feet. I believe it was probably one of the first lines of hammer strength equipment, of leg press equipment. And I got to the point where I was doing, you know, 12, 13 plates per side. And, you know, I mean, obviously if I was doing the foot position that I do now, I wouldn't go that heavy because I found it more beneficial down the road. And it sucks it took me this long to figure this out. By doing a low foot position and making the exercise more quad dominant rather than glute and ham dominant, And a lot of that's going to vary based on your genetics and your muscle tie-ins and insertion points and this and that. But it's probably also another reason that the squat was never really beneficial for my quad targeted development. It just made my fucking ass and my hams big, but it never really got my quads looking as massive as the leg press did. But let me back up. So in the beginning, it was very, very heavy leg presses. I would work up and get my strengths, you know, progressively stronger on leg presses. And dude, I mean, I got stretch marks like a motherfucker on the inside of my thighs. My legs grew so damn fast, it was ridiculous. Didn't do a squat. I didn't do a damn squat until I was in the gym for maybe 3 years. And then I started off low. I did what everyone else does. Eventually, I got to a certain weight. I started wrapping my knees. Why'd I wrap my knees? It makes it fucking easier. All right? Let's cut the crap. It makes it easier. It's a spring. So whenever I got usually to about 405 plus in the squat, I would wrap my knees. And I got pretty good at squats. Like when I was my biggest, which was about 263 pounds at a height of 5'9". Now this was with my knees wrapped, but it's still a pretty damn good squat. I mean, it was below parallel on the reps. I think I could do like 23 or 24 reps with 405. Guess what? My legs weren't as good as they are now. Nope. Not as good as they are now. You know about the heaviest I get now on a leg press? 7 plates on each side and some change. That's it. And I keep that low foot position. My position's so fucking low that half of my feet are off the pad. And I learned that pressing off the balls of my feet worked better for me. It worked better for me. Thank God for Tom Platz, man. I started like reading a lot about Tom Platz and watching a lot of his videos. And Tom Platz's approach to leg press worked for me. His approach to hack squats worked for me. You know, I think Tom just has some crazy, crazy ass quad genetics, and the squat worked for him. It never worked as well for me. Anyway, I'm rambling here, but the point to this story is that I built some damn good quads in a really big physique without doing squats. On a regular basis. Everyone says, oh, squats are king, squats are king. No, they're fucking not. No, they're not. You can build yourself really big without doing squats. Look at fucking Dorian Yates. Six-time Mr. Olympia. Quit doing squats because in the beginning he had an injury. He said, nah, fuck squats. He did hacks. He did leg presses. Did not do squats. Were his quads bad? No. So you have to be open-minded enough to realize what works for you. Maybe squats work excellent for you. I'm not telling you not to do them if they work great for you. They just didn't work for me. The point to what I'm telling you guys is a lot of the common core stuff that you read about and a lot of the stuff that people say is a waste of time was never a waste of time for me. God damn it, if you're challenging yourself in the gym, you're challenging yourself in the gym. I don't give a fuck if it's a hammer strength machine or if it's an incline barbell press or dumbbells or a Nautilus press. Pushing it to the fucking edge is pushing it to the fucking edge. You could take two people, one person only uses free weights, right? Yeah, free weights are better. Free weights are better. Works your stabilizer muscles and this and that. And they do. There's advantages to them, especially in the beginning, to using free weights because you do want to learn to balance it yourself and work your stabilizer muscles. But the point is if I had two guys and one guy fucking quit, he was a little pussy. Every time something hurt, he put the weight down. And the other guy could just take it to the edge, man. He was willing to go through that fucking pain and just kill his workouts, but he's only allowed to use machines. That guy that was only allowed to use machines would be much better looking than the pussy on the free weights. And that's what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with a lot of people. They're afraid of pain. They're afraid to go through real fucking pain. So like people, I get asked all the time, why are you doing that? Like what? Your arms are pretty big. Why are you starting your curls with 15-pound dumbbells? I'm like, this is why my arms are pretty fucking big. Because I'm not afraid to lose my ego at the gym door. Was I like that in the beginning? No, man. I was like everybody else. I wanted to be the big guy in the gym. I wanted to look impressive. I wanted people to hear the weights hitting the floor, slamming the floor, and a thunderous bang from a big deadlift. Yada, yada, yada. That only goes so far. It doesn't... And granted, it does take a lot of experience to get that mind-muscle connection, okay? That is the irony of the whole damn thing, is you have to progressively get stronger to be able to train with lighter weights and benefit from it. You do. But I don't think you have to lift as much weight as people say you have to lift if you're not feeling a fucking exercise. I mean, look at a lot of guys that are 405 plus bench pressers. I think I know more guys that are benching 405 plus that have had a pec tear than guys who haven't. I mean, that's not to say if you just cut it at three plates per side and just do more reps, you can't have a really, really big, impressive chest. It's not saying that at all. I think a lot of people have a lot of confusion when it comes to what really benefits the muscle and makes it grow versus what's kind of, picture quality stuff, show stuff. And I realized that a lot of those old magazines that I used to read, those guys might have just been posing with those weights in their hand. They might have been doing them for a couple reps just to get the picture. Nobody wants people to know that they're training light when they look that big. But the reality of it is a lot of times they are. A lot of times they are. Even Arnold trained light. He could train heavy. He could. But he did not train like that all the time. He did what worked the muscles. Arnold, a lot of people don't know this, Arnold rarely went over 40-pound dumbbells when he did curls. Rarely. I know this stuff because I know people from that area that trained next to him. So, you know, I tend to take their word for it. And I can tell you a lot of crazy stories that were never really put out there that a lot of people don't know. One of my best friends grew up in the golden era. Guy taught me a hell of a lot, too. He taught me a lot. A lot of that golden era stuff was passed on to me from my buddy. So I was very, very fortunate to kind of learn the reality and the truth of what worked and what doesn't. And a lot of these things, I mean, they don't change much over the years. They really don't. I mean, I think we have a lot more knowledge on nutrition than we used to have. And a lot of the stuff you would hear about the diets, there's always, and this is just my belief, but there's always a nostalgic way of looking at what we did in the past. And how people now might not be putting in as much work, and which is, why are the physiques better? I mean, you know, like, you can't just say it's drugs. Drugs aren't the answer. They help. But the physiques are better because a lot of guys still are putting in the work. They're just few and far between. So I'm going to give you, like, the rundown idiot's guide, or what do you call it? The cliff notes to the way my training started and the way it changed. So in the beginning, it was a lot of body weight movements. Again, it was a lot of push-ups. I would do push-ups numerous times a week. I benefited from them. I gained about 36 pounds of mass in my first year in the gym, and that was without training legs. With training legs, who knows? I might have thrown on 50. I don't know. The point is it worked, and I was not doing bench. Let me back up. The bench came in about 5 or 6 months into it. Long story short, I transferred my little gym area from, instead of being in my bedroom on a hardwood floor with calisthenics, a wooden school chair, and a cheap set of sand-filled plates, I traded a bike for a weight set that my dad knew this guy. He wanted to start riding a bike, and I wanted to start lifting weights. So I got this old cheap-ass, DP, Fit for Life, one of those benches. Half the fucking bench pad was duct taped together. There was a tricep press down on the back that was half rusted. So, I mean, you could only be pressing like 30 or 40 pounds. It's probably really like 90 because the thing like barely fucking moved. And I never looked at it like, oh man, if only I had a better this or better that. I just looked at it like, hell yeah, man, I have fucking everything. I have everything right here. I got it all, man. I traded my bike for this shitty ass weight bench. And I had one of those old creepy basements with like one light bulb. Half the basement was flooded most of the time. It was a very, very creepy dungeon-esque type place. But damn it, I had that stereo and I had my Metallica. That's all I fucking needed, man. And I loved it, man. I loved it. And then eventually I got into a YMCA gym. So in the beginning, it was not anything like starting strength, 5x5. It was nothing like that. I would eventually incorporate the bench press into the routine as I got in better condition and stronger with those other exercises first. So it was a little bit slower than a lot of people do it. If I could go back and do it any differently, I don't think I would. I think that was a great way to start. After year one in the gym, from about year one to year five, that was the progressive resistance phase. Okay. And I truly believe that after 5 years of consistent training, you pretty much got about 80 to 90% of what you're going to get. You got it. Drug-free or not, I don't care. I don't care. You could be drug-free the first 5 years and then start using performance enhancers thereafter, and it doesn't fucking matter. You probably got 80 to 90% of what you're going to get. What you're going to get in terms of overall size, how much size you take up standing in a fucking doorframe, you got 90% of it with hard, consistent training at the five-year mark. But anyway, from year one to five, those were the progressive resistance days. Those were, you know, lat pulldowns, going heavier every week or trying to go heavier every week. Deadlifts, a lot of deadlifts. I did a lot of damn deadlifts. That was the one exercise out of the big three that I probably did more religiously than anything was a deadlift, just because I was naturally very good at the deadlift and I had a very strong back, and a lot of that might be due to genetics. I like to swim a lot. When I was a teenager, I was always a good swimmer. I'm not such a good swimmer now. Muscle mass doesn't float very well. I can still swim, but damn it, it takes a lot, man. If I don't keep paddling, I'm going to fucking drown. And then after 5 years, from years five to, let's say, years 15, it was variation. It was more variation. It was experimenting with different exercises, you know, rather than just doing, you know, a lateral pull down with one grip, I would change the grip. Or rather than just doing, you know, a deadlift is a staple back movement, maybe 1 week I would skip the deadlift and I would do bent over rows or one arm dumbbell rows or things like that. It was a lot more variation, and it became a lot more of focusing on muscles that a lot of beginners don't focus on. The rear delts, that's one a lot of people, when they're a beginner, they just don't do it. It's a very hard exercise. You can't train as heavy. It's not really a motivating body part to train. You can't really see them. You know, you might not be using more than 15, 20 pound dumbbells. I just was not very motivated to train rear delts, you know, in the beginning. They're very good. I think genetically they were very good. I train them now. Things like hamstrings, you know, lying leg curls or stiff-legged deadlifts or anything like that, I probably wasn't doing a lot of that, if any of that, in the first 5 years in the gym. It wasn't until, you know, years five and beyond that I realized, hey, you know, you're neglecting certain body parts and there's certain exercises that could really be benefiting you. So that was more the variation period. Now, after the 15-year mark in the gym, I've been in the gym probably just over 25 years now. So after the 15-year mark, truly came the mind-muscle connection. That truly became the time where I would consider myself advanced, where I could make light weights feel challenging. I could make them heavy. I could slow my reps down. I started training with more time under tension. Now, when I started training like that, after I built the bulk, after I built the foundation, my physique just fucking took off. It took off a lot, and I don't think it was all drugs. I think that, because I was never a heavy dose guy. You know, it was like moderate doses. 90% of my cycles have been the old school under a gram a week total rule. Like, don't go over a gram a week. And I still got much, much more developed just by changing the way that I was training. The problem a lot of guys have now, I'm going to be honest with you guys, there's so much knowledge out there that they're taking a lot of advanced principles and they're trying to do them right off the bat. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to get a mind-muscle connection to really focus on, you know, putting the mind in the muscle. But now it's either like guys, they don't have it at all and they're just, you know, worried about powerlifting or throwing the weight up and as much weight as they can throw on there to throw it on there. Or they're training so damn light that they're leaving something on the table when it comes to gaining size through progressive resistance. It's very hard to find somebody that can take that middle ground approach or go from one to the other. They're just not there yet. And I think that taking my approach that I take now to bodybuilding in the beginning would not be the best way for a beginner. There's only so much, you know, focus you're going to put into a body part. Like, let's say a beginner was to grab a 10-pound dumbbell, and every time they grab a 10-pound dumbbell, they told themselves, I don't need to go up. I don't need to go up. I'm just going to make this 10 pounds feel harder. Well, no, I don't really think that's the best way to do it. I think that they need to get to the point where they can start curling 30s and 40s or maybe 50s and then work down. So the crazy part is it's like this crazy spectrum, man, where it's like in the beginning, you need to progressively get stronger. And then there comes a point where the strength plateaus and you need to get stronger in a weird, different sort of way. So you almost go down the spectrum, but as you're going down, the physique is getting better. So I tell a lot of guys this. I say, look, just because there's a lot of different ways you can be 100%. Okay, 100% doesn't just have to be your max bench press. You know, you just bench 400 pounds. You've never benched 400 pounds before in your life. That's 100%. Now, if you need to take two steps back to take another leap forward, which is ultimately what bodybuilding becomes, if you want to stay in this for any amount of time, and longevity is the key to me. Nobody wants to be a flash in a pan. I love this lifestyle. I love it. I don't know what I'd be doing if I wasn't doing it. There's a lot of different ways to be 100%. I don't think everyone understands that, because a lot of guys, they'll get to a point where their strength plateaus, or maybe they gain a little bit of body fat. You know, they get a job or career. They grow up a little bit. They get married, whatever, and they turn into your average sack of shit, like most people, which I don't understand. I don't understand why you would accept looking like shit just because you got married, or why you would accept fucking a piece of shit just because you got married. You should always want to look good for you and feel good and look good for and feel good for the person that you're with. I don't understand that. But there's different ways to be 100%. You can be 100% in cardio. You can be 100% with yoga. You can be 100% with swimming or 100% with running. Or you can be 100% in anything that can propel you forward. 100% doesn't always just have to mean that you bench press the most weight in the gym. And when a lot of people get injured, they assume that it's over because they can never be 100% again. Yes, you can. You just have to look at it differently. And I had to look at it differently at given points of time throughout my journey with bodybuilding. And I eventually realized is there is other ways to be 100%, and there is other ways to move forward. There really is. And that's the point that I've gotten to where it's like, okay, you know, I'm happy with my size. I really don't need to be any bigger. But how can I change things to be 100%, you know, where I'm at now? So it may not be the same 100% as it was when I was squatting a lot of weight for a lot of reps. But nonetheless, it's still 100%, just in a different approach. So let me just hit on that again. A lot of what you read out there, a lot of the common core BS that you're reading about, it's not the only way to skin a cat. I didn't do it that way. I didn't do it with starting strength or 5x5 or heavy compound lifts only in the big three. And if you're into powerlifting, I'm not knocking you. Hey, that's your cup of tea, whatever works for you. But I'm just here to tell you that I became a very big, lean guy not following all that stuff in that order or that progression. I would do things here and there intermittently, but it wasn't like a lot of people think you need to do it. For anyone that's curious about maybe the progression in a little more detail within those first 5 years, check out my ebook, Becoming the Bull. That talks about the 125 routine. That talks about everything that I did in the beginning up until about that 5 year mark to really build one hell of a body, a very good physique, a very muscular and strong physique. That explains it, that lists different routines and different programs along with the nutrition. And it talks about some fallacies with the nutrition that I think a lot of people don't understand either. You know, again, a lot of the advanced stuff people are wanting to do right from the beginning, and, you know, they may not be eating enough. They may be eating too clean. Just to be honest with you, you can eat too clean when it comes to trying to pack on a decent amount of size in a short amount of time. You may be doing something wrong and you don't think it's wrong because now we have all these social media fuckheads, all these internet sensations that what you need to understand is a lot of these guys are putting out information based on where they're at, what's in their mind right now. This is what I'm doing because this is where I'm at. It doesn't mean that this is where so-and-so's at the 1 year mark, or if they've never stepped foot in a gym, this isn't where they're at. But yet there's a huge misconception that if they do what this guy's doing, it's the best way to do it for from a beginner standpoint, and I'm here to tell you it's not. I like to put myself in those shoes of somebody that's starting off in the gym, in the shoes of somebody that's never done a diet before. And by diet, I mean just how you're eating. It could be to lose fat. It could be just to gain muscle mass. I try to think back about what worked for me. And that's the reason I wanted to release this podcast, is I thought back about what worked for me in different stages or phases that I was in this game. So I'm just kind of giving you a general rundown. I'm sure there's a lot of things I left out, you know, as far as like, you know, my gear experience and this and that, and you know, which compounds I used. And I have other material that covers that. But for somebody that's just really curious about the natural progression of a beginner up until somebody that's a fairly muscular individual, check out Becoming the Bull. I don't think you can go wrong if you like what you're hearing. And as always, I just believe in honesty, man. I don't believe in the hype of this thing. I like to be honest and transparent with everything that I do and everything I talk about, which is one of the reasons I don't release these things as much as I should. And I've been getting a lot of emails lately from listeners, you know, telling me they can't wait till the next podcast drops and they enjoy the podcast. And guys, hey, thanks so much for following, all right? And I know you love what you're hearing, but I don't ever want to be that guy that just drops crap to say I drop content. If I'm not happy with it, which there's been several podcasts I've done, and I'm like, no, they're not fucking good enough. I don't want to release it. There's been several I've done like that. And if I don't feel like it truly offers listeners something to the best of my ability, I scratch it. So one of the things some of you guys can do if you'd like, if there's anything you'd like to know about, shoot me an email. Because a lot of times I do run dry on ideas. And sometimes just hearing feedback from the listeners just keeps things fresh. And it's, oh yeah, that's a good question. Let me address that. And then I can get into other things that kind of revolve around that topic of things. You know, I don't want to be that guy just releases crap just to release crap. I don't care about that. I don't need to be the most popular guy. I want to be the best guy. And there's a difference between the most popular and the fucking real McCoy. And, you know, I'd like to just follow that lead instead of, you know, what everyone else is doing now, regardless. Anyway, guys, I hope you could learn something from this. Some of you, I know some of you maybe are already beyond this. But for those that aren't, hey, man, take it, apply it, and see what happens with you, you know? But anyway, train hard. Until next time, this is JD, and I'm out of here.